Say, oh, love. For the beautiful, beautiful spread. The scotch and bourbon is donated, dedicated by the Silber family in honor of the return of Avraham Mordechai. Coming back from, we are looking for sponsors in Mirat Hashem for future weeks. You could see Azriel if you'd like to sponsor the scotch and bourbon, Lavdala, right? Right, Yain Vikidish, you know, Mirat Hashem a little bit. Near Lamar,
Kirkland,
whatever. This is a very Heimish crowd over here. Whatever it is. Mostly. So let's begin. It's a schos Baruch Hashem to get together on Erev Shabbos. Incredible schos to be able to prepare for the Yom Tov of Pesach together. We began last week in the Chalban, and we're speaking about in the Chalban the beautiful idea. We did the first piece in the Chalban. So again, for the Chaver that's new. In this year, Thursday nights, we started as a Chassidus Shir. We did some of the Lubavitch Rebbe, some Rabbi Nachman, and then we transitioned to the works of the Chalban. Chalban was one of the greatest Mikubalim in Eretz Yisrael, just passed away not so long ago. And the Chevra that's been learning his Torah knows that there's something Meshunadik about the Chalban's Torah. There's just something different. I know, maybe Nehemiah said it to me last week, that if you know what I'm saying, when the Chalban writes, he doesn't quote any Mara Makomos. Right? There's no source, there's no this, there's no that. It's almost Devarim Hayotzim min Halev. From the Chaban, obviously, it's all from Torah. There's sources for everything. But Lamais, that's not this kind of sefer. That's not this kind of limud. It's ultimately it's a Torah's Hanafshi. Torah's, it's just a different kind of Torah. And those of us who have been zochet to learn it over the last couple of weeks see how the Chaban has such a unique and beautiful derech. And we saw last week that the Chaban spoke about the idea that in order to experience the chayrus, in order to experience the freedom of Pesach, one has to first go ahead and put themselves into a belly. So happy you came. And Meretz Hashem, we'll get you on the tail end. You weren't sure that they were sheer? I'm sorry. I did send it out late. I'm sorry. My bad. Meretz Hashem, we'll... Okay, so we saw the Chaban spoke about the idea... It's very important. I need him to be happy and like well cared for. So the Chaban was speaking about the idea that in order to go ahead and come out of the shibud, in order to come out of the slavery, in order to experience the chirus, in order to experience the freedom, a person first has to put themselves in avdus, an incredible yisod. You have to willingly go into avdus. What does it mean to willingly go into avdus? That a person has to be willing to confront their failures. You know, the Chaban pointed out, we spend so much of life running away from our faults and our failures. We spend so much of life pretending like those faults and failures don't exist. And we make up excuses and we just ignore. But the truth is, says the Chaban, if you want chayrus, if you want freedom, the first step to freedom is avdus. There's no such thing as chirus without avdus. Person has to be willing to go into their mitzrayim. Person has to be willing to be yore, to go down into their shibud. Person has to be willing to confront their faults, their frailties, their difficulties, their averus. And only once they're willing to confront, and only once they're willing to really own it, and to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, okay, I made mistakes, but I'm ready to do things differently. Only once you're willing to engage your shibud, do you have the opportunity and ability to really go out into chirus. That's the Chaban taught us last week. We're going to continue a little bit. There's so much I want to do, but this is our last shiur before Pesach. So I want to share with you on page Chaf on your sheet, which is the first sheet here. You know, we dedicate our learning, of course, in the schus of all of Klal Yisrael. And we hear the news that comes out of Eretz Yisrael tonight, a terror attack in Tel Aviv. And Erev Shabbos Kodesh. And we see a world in which there's so much upheaval. So much upheaval. Not a day goes by that there's not some dramatic upheaval event. And all of this happening again on the cusp of Zman Chirusel, on the cusp of Pesach, a time of such dramatic change. There's a koach in this world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying to tell us something. What it is, we have to try to figure out. But one thing is clear, that when you see the world changing so dramatically all around you all of the time, then it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu whispering in my ear, if the world could change, so can I. If everything in the world as we know it, which is really, if you think about it, what's happened over the last 2 years, between pandemic, Ukraine, leaving aside what's happened, not leaving aside, look at everything in Eretz Yisrael, the terror attacks, the government, all these things, is upheaval in every corner. And if there's upheaval in every corner of the world, then it's time for me to start an inner upheaval as well, to try to figure out what needs to be righted, what needs to be corrected, what needs to be redone, what needs to be remade. And with that, let's begin. So the Chabad says something incredibly beautiful over here. He says, everyone has enough sheets? Well, there should be, there's still more in the middle if anyone needs. So look what the Chabad says. Zman shu eichos l'chol hashan, b'chol shana. Chabad writes every year, Le'al ha-seder nimshach sha'o sefuros bilvat. He says, you know, every year, the seder only lasts a couple of hours. So know what you're thinking to yourself. Halavai, right? Halavai only lasts a couple of hours, right? The seder lasts a couple of hours. He says, biyachas l'chol hashana kula, zezman katzer ma'od. If you think about, right, how much, however long your seder is, but when you compare how long the seder is to the rest of the year, the seder is just a minuscule part, right? It's a couple of seconds compared with the rest of the year. Yet he says, lachin, b'mabat shtachi, nira shekiv yachol ein har beyicholes lif ol bol al hashana kula. See, Rabbi say, if you were to ask a person, stam a person, tell me, what's the impact that the seder has on the rest of the year? So, b'pashtus, what would a person say? What's the impact the seder has on the rest of the year? Not much, negligible, right? Why? Because think about it. Let's say your seder goes for 4 hours, 5 hours. So 4 hours, I don't know how many hours there are in a year, but however many, 4 hours, 5 hours out of an entire year is a tipa shibatipos. It's nothing. It's a little drop. It's nothing. So obviously the seder can't have so much of a dramatic effect if it only occupies such a few number of hours. Yet the Chaban says, v'ulam, kantzrichim anu lohavin yisod gadol. But here the Chaban says we have to understand something very important. V'hu b'davar ha-hevdol b'na p'ula b'chitzonios le'p'ula b'pnimius. So ultimately, again, the Chaban says here we have to see the difference between those things which occur b'chitzonios, externally, and those things which occur in p'nimius. Now, Bosai, if you remember again, when we were learning Hakitzu v'rananu, so everything in Hakitzu v'rananu was all about Pnimius and Chitzonius. So remember again, in Hakitzu v'rananu, Pnimius v'Chitzonius. Remember again, that's a little Chazara. How did the Chaban explain Pnimius and Chitzonius by Hakitzu v'rananu? Good. Klal versus the Yochid. Right? The Chitzonius is my Avoda as a Yochid. The Pnimius is my Avoda as part of the Klal. Here the Rebbe is using it in a little, the Chaban is using it in a little bit of a different context. He says like this, Ki Yadua, Ha'olam Nechlok, Lepnimius v'chitzonius. The world is divided, I was saying, between things that are pnimius. Now, again, pnimius is one of those words that we know what it is, but it's hard to define it. Right? Well, he's going to define it in just a moment. But the world is, there's a distinction in the world between the pnimius, the inner things, and the external things. Kimo kena adam, shu asui betavnis ha'olamos, shiesh lo pnimius v'chitzonius. A person is the same way. Every person has pnimius and chitzonius. Pnimius ha'adam, he sowed nishmaso. What's your pnimius? Your pnimius is your neshama. But if you notice the lashon of the Chaban, he doesn't just simply say neshama. What does he use? Sowed neshama. Again, without getting into all of this right now, but I will say there's not only do I have a neshama, but there's a sowed. Right? Sowed. Sowed can mean a secret. Sowed could also mean a foundation. There's a foundational element of my neshama that is pure, that is holy, that cannot be corrupted, that cannot be tainted. So my pnimius, I have a sowed nishmaso. Vachitzonius, he sowed kochosav hagiluyim. So I will say, look at this in just a moment. My pnimius, I understand. That's my neshama. What's my chitzonius? What's my chitzonius? These are my revealed kochos. Now, what are my revealed kochos? Says the Chaban. Shem sichlo v'daito machshavosav rigeshosav gufo ve'evarav. So it's interesting because you would have thought to make the order a little bit opposite, right? What's my chitzonius? My chitzonius, of course, is my body, my limbs, my physicality, my physical strength. But included in this list, the Chaban also puts in there sichlo v'daito, your intellect. Well, say, isn't this incredible? In the Chaban's model, intellect is not part of pnimius. Intellect is part of chitzonius. My neshama is my panemius, my seichel, my wisdom, my intellect, my understanding, my mind, my brain. That's grouped together with my physicality. Those are all things that are chitzonius. He goes on, he says, ha-chitzonius mevi'a lidei bitois ha-panemius, ki-guf ha-mevates ha-neshama shavo. Now, of course, the chitzonius is very helpful, because what does the chitzonius do? The chitzonius allows the panemius to have expression. Because I was thinking about this in just a moment. How does my neshama interact with the world? Right? How does my neshama interact with the world? What's the answer? Through my body. Right? That's why ultimately Yiddishkeit, Judaism, is not an ascetic religion. Right? We don't believe that the pathway to God is paved with physical privation. Right? We don't believe in afflicting ourselves physically. Because we believe that the guf is kadosh, the body is holy. Because the body itself is the vehicle for the expression of panemius. I could have the strongest, most beautiful, most healing neshama, but if my neshama has no way to express itself in this world, then it's stunted. So the chitzonius, the external aspects of me, give expression to my panemius. He goes on, he says, ha-chitzonios, mevi, I'm good. He says, v'hine, yeish hevdol mahusi ben ha-panemius v'ha-chitzonios, v'hu besod azman. What is the Chaban says? So wherein lies the fundamental distinction between panemius and chitzonius? Where does that distinction lie? The Chaban posits in zman, in time. In time, meaning what? Hachitzonius nisuna tachas hazman. Vatalichim ha'ovrim ba itim umedudim. Bosei chitzonius, listen to this incredible yisod. Chitzonius is subject to zman, subject to time. Sichlo shal, let me give you an example. Bosei, what's a good example of this? So remember again, in the Chalban's Mala, Bosei, I want to point out, that's why you have to buy into this hashkafa, because the truth is, not everybody would agree with the fact that Seichel is chitzonius and not panemius, right? Right? What are you going to say, Nechemi? Oh, spoken like a true misnagid. But I'll tell you how. We're going to see it. L'chaim. Mirza Hashem. Nechemia, no one is beyond salvation. That's what I want to start with. Right? That's number one. Well, I'm sorry?
Even feelings, which you would think is more
than Shalom. Oh, correct. So I want to point out, even feelings, right? Remember, again, emotions, he's also saying, are chitzonius. So again, hold on. We're going to get to this.
There's a lot of lip parts here.
I'm sorry?
Yeah,
it's okay. This is Kirov Shir. I want to be clear. That's why we have food, we have drinks, regular. This is like a page out of the Chabad playbook over here. This is I have a tefillin booth set up outside also over there. So I'll tell you something amazing. Yeah, for everything. So let's first accept his definition. So his definition of panemius is, in the category of panemius, according to the Chabad, there's only one thing. My neshama. Everything that's not my neshama by definition is chitzonius, including my physicality, which is obvious, but even my thoughts, even my emotions. Okay, we'll get to all of this in just a moment. The Chaban says, wherein lies the fundamental distinction between panemius and chitzonius? And listen to this, he says, chitzonius is subject to zman. It's subject to time. It's interesting, the example he gives, Rabbi Say, if you look, he says, sichlo shel adam, eino gadol b'basachos, umidosav, Enon niskanos bepam achas mihira. So it's interesting. I would have thought he would have given a different example. The example he gives is seichel, intellect. We'll say it takes time to develop intellect. It takes time to develop mature thinking. Right? It takes time to go ahead and develop cognitive constructs. It's interesting. I would have thought he would have started with a much easier example, which is physicality. Right? It takes time for a baby to grow. Everything that is, probably is using seichel because it's a bit more nuanced. Everything that's chitzoni requires man. Right? So again, my body doesn't grow all at once. It takes time. My seichel doesn't grow all at once. It takes time. Tsa'ad achar tsa'ad. Step after step. Be'itios. Small amounts of time. Holei ha'adam va'ole b'chitzionuso. Chitzonius is really subject to time and incremental growth. I always say, watch this. Lumazos ha'pinimius nitzeves mi'alasman. So Rabbi said, that says the Chabam, but panemius is me'alasman. Panemius is not subject to time. Panemius is above time. He says, for example, Bebas achos mavrik ba or chadash miziv elyon. Shefa kodesh haba mimiromim. See, Rabbi was saying, in Pnimius, you know, Rav Kook has this in Oros HaTshuva. Rav Kook speaks about this concept of tshuva hadrogis and tshuva pitomis. Tshuva hadrogis, right, like dargo, is incremental tshuva. Incremental tshuva, if you think about it, that's like the tshuva of the Rambam, in Hilchos tshuva, right, first there's hakara sachet, then charata, then aziva, all the different pieces, kabbalah alasim, all the different pieces. Rav Kook says there's another form of tshuva. It's called tshuva pitomis. Instantaneous tshuva. Instantaneous tshuva. Where a person ultimately, again, decides on a dime that they're going to be someone different, and they undergo a complete metamorphosis, a complete comprehensive change in a moment. See, I will say, let me ask you this. Can you do that with your feelings? Can you do that going from one feeling to a polar opposite feeling in one moment? What would you say?
It's possible. Yeah.
No, it's not. No, it's not. It's not. What you could do is, you could fake it. So actually, I was going to say, So the truth is, sometimes when people vacillate so dramatically between moods, that's often indicative of maybe something's wrong. Because human nature is that moods are transitional. Moods are transitional. You know, in fact, moods are transitional. So I could be sad and I could become happy, but the notion of being fully sad and then being completely, unequivocally happy in the next moment, it doesn't happen. And it makes sense. According to Chabad, it makes absolute sense. Why? Because emotions and feelings are chitzonius. And anything that's chitzonius, what? What? Zman. Requires zman. Requires zman. The only thing that doesn't require zman in this world is for your neshama to change. It's for your panemius. That is able to change in a moment. That's ultimately, again, that's what? That's what Rav Kook called Chuva Pitomis. But again, you don't have to go to Rav Kook. But it's already in the Gemara. Right? What is the Gemara? Say two examples of the Gemara. Ha omer le'isha, hare'at mikudeshas li almenas sha'ani tzadik gamer. Greatest pickup line, right? Become mikudeshes to me, right? Become a tzaddik on the condition that I am an absolute tzaddik. I'm an absolute tzaddik. What does the Gemara say?
It's a good condition.
Afilu rasha gamar mikudeshes. Mikudeshes, the Gemara. So we're talking about, if you know the guy's a rasha, I will say, by the way, you can make kiddushin with it tonight. You could betroth the woman and say, I'm marrying you on the condition you give me $1 million. You could do that. If she gives you $1 million and you're married, if not, you're not. So you can make kiddushana tonight. So a guy says, marry me on the condition that I am a tzaddik. By the way, not just like a kleiner tzaddik, not just like a little tzaddik, tzaddik gummer. Right? Go big or go home, right? At the end of the day, right? Become I am a tzaddik gummer. I'm a tzaddik gummer. The Gemara says, even if you know the guy is a Rasha, mikudeshes. Why says the Gemara? See what the Lashon of the Gemara is? Shema hir her b'tshuva. Shema hir her b'tshuva. And what does hir her mean?
He thought
about tshuva. So what? I mean, I think about tshuva all the time. No problem. Just don't execute, right? But I think about it all. Right? Can't stop thinking about tshuva all the time. I say, what if he thought about tshuva? In other words, if you think Gemara answers me that he did tshuva, okay, then he's not a Rasha Gamer anymore. But Shema hir her b'tshuva. How does that work? So a guy who's a Rasha Gamar has a hear her tshuva, a thought of tshuva, an inner desire to do tshuva, doesn't change anything about his lifestyle, doesn't change anything about his behaviors, doesn't change anything about anything. And now suddenly she's mikudeshes elamai, that's what the Chalban is describing. It's getting from the Gemara. Because what Chazal are teaching us is the ability to affect comprehensive, cathartic, instantaneous change is possible. It's possible. You could change your panemius in a moment. Your chitzonius takes time. Chitzonius takes time. Emotions take time. Intellect takes time. The way I think takes time. Growth takes time. Everything takes time. But you want to change the mahus of your panemius? You want to change your neshama, your panemius, into the panemius of a tzaddik gummer? You could do that in a moment. You could do it in a moment. Because panemius is not governed by time. An incredible, incredible yisod. There are other examples of this. The Gemara also says by the story of Elazar ben Drujo, Bachi Rabba, right? Rabba cried. He said, Yesh kana olama b'sha'achos. What do you mean, yesh kolam b'sha'achos? A person could acquire their world. It could be olam haba. It could also be this world. A person could endow meaning to their entire life in one moment. What's the pshat? Because by panemius, it's lamala min azman. When it comes to panemius, you could change anything and everything without time. It's lamala min azman. So the Chaban goes on. He says, the lashon of Yerbo says so beautiful at the end of that first paragraph. Bevas achos, in one moment, mavrik ba. Or chadash mizivelyon. But said lashon is so beautiful. Mavrik ba. Literally, there's like lightning. There's like lightning of a celestial light. Mavrik ba. This beautiful light. This or chadash that comes from above suddenly illuminates inside of me. Shefa kodesh haba mimromim. A flow of divine energy. Arze asher nizra bepnimius berega achos. Yelech v'yetze elachitzonis ba'adraga. Oh, so I'll say, now what happens? Just to understand the flow. So what happens after you have that change in your panemius? I'll say, where does the panemius energy go? Where does it go? Where does it go? It trickles out. So the way ultimately, again, chitzonis changes is that it has the energy from the panemius. But the difference is, whereas the panemi change is instantaneous, ultimately, again, the chitzoni change is gradual. It's gradual.
So how do the two work together?
I'm sorry?
Does one squash down the other? I mean, the panemius grows, but it
doesn't. It does. The chitzoni, they just don't go at the same pace. See, what happens is it's almost as if you could imagine trying to think of like a good mashal. You know what it's like? If you could, this is not a good mashal, but it's the only thing that's coming to mind. If you can imagine, if you have a wick, and you have a clear, like the Gemara Masechet Shabbos describes this nair that works this way. Imagine you have a receptacle that holds oil, right? And the oil drips down into a smaller kli, and the wick is here. The wick is here. So when you look at the top kli, everything that is necessary is there. The kli is mole. But yet, when you look at the bottom kli is not mole, but the bottom kli is being fueled from the upper kli. So it's only coming in drip, drip, right? Tipa, tipa, it's only coming in. So this kli is still not fully there. The truth is you can make the hole a little bit wider, it can fill up a little bit more. So I think that's the nimshal, meaning this is the nesham. I mean, this is not the nesham, but you know, so, right? In other words, that is a bad example, right? Right, but right, for some people it is. Right. So I'll say, you understand, of course, that the panemius itself instantaneously changes, and then the energy amassed in the panemius is ultimately, again, what fuels the chitzonius. But the chitzonius is fueled, or the growth in the chitzonius really only becomes apparent over time. He goes on, he says, "Shlavim merubim, kach efshar, sha'ar shehifhik berega achas bepnimius." So we'll say this, and here's the operative line. This is why it's important to remember, "Or shehifhik berega achas bepnimius." You could have a light that immediately and instantaneously transformed the pnimius. His galuso hachutza timashech shanim rabos. Rabosai. That light which instantaneously transforms the panemius could take years in order to influence the chitzonius. That's the relationship here. So once again, we have our definitions, panemius and chitzonius. Panemius being the neshama, chitzonius pretty much being everything else. The fundamental distinction, panemius could change instantaneously. Chitzonius could change. That change is fueled by the panemius, but that chitzoni change often takes time. But so look at the second paragraph. V'hinei yesh lahavin. And here's what you have to understand, says the Chalban. Shapnimius hi ha'ikr. I'll say, what's the ikr of a yid? What is the ikr of a yid? The ikr of a yid, ultimately, again, is his panemius. It's his neshama. Both saying, what is more important in this world than my neshama? Right? Everything else, well, if you think about it, it's a little bit of an overwhelming thing to think about, but everything else I have in this world comes and goes. Right, I will say, think about this. Person has relationships. Are relationships important? Yes. Good. I would expect everyone to answer this in the same way, right? Yes, relationships are incredibly important. You know what the incredible thing about relationships are? You can't guarantee if you're going to hold on to that or not. For a variety of reasons. Sometimes people pass away. Sometimes relationships don't work out. Sometimes people change a whole variety of things. So what's important? Your profession? Your profession? I go to many levayas. I've yet to be at a levaya where they closed up the office and everyone from the office came to the levaya, right? In other words, I'm sure it's happened, but Lamaisa, your coworkers are wonderful. I'm sure they love you. They're fantastic. Everyone's replaceable. No one is irreplaceable. No one's indispensable within their career. Family is incredibly important also. But Lamaisa, again, even family. There's no guarantees what you can hold on to, what you can't hold on to. The only thing in life over which you have complete shlita and is yours for all eternity is your neshama. And it's always yours. And therefore, says the Chalban, Pinimius hi ha'ikar. It's not saying the other things aren't important. Of course, everything is important. Our relationships are important. Our professions are important. Everything is important. But Lamaisa, what's the ikar? The ikar has to be the one thing that is the only constant in your life, and that is your neshama.
Does the neshama actually change? Maybe what's our seichel, meaning the difference between tzaddik and rasha is really, I guess, gauged through action, right? You do a positive thing, right? Meaning the neshama, in its essence, does that ever actually change?
He seems to say that it changes. Now, what that change looks like, okay, remember, how does the Chalban describe panemius instantaneous change? He describes it as a blast of light. Like a blast of lightning that's illuminating my neshama. So I don't think it means that the neshama goes from ra to tov, but I think more probably what the neshama goes to probably is from inactive to active, from dormant to alive. Because sometimes, like lahavdil, the neshama could go into sleep mode. It's on, it's there, it's working, it's doing its thing kind of behind, but it's in sleep mode. It's not driving anything. When a person undergoes that panemius change, by definition, the neshama is awakened.
It's really just me getting more in touch with the neshama, where the neshama is overriding the safe ones.
Correct. I don't even know if that has to be overriding. Because remember, the Chabban is saying it's the neshama that fuels everything. So this is not like a typical, you know, Hasidus concept where there's a clash between, you know, Panimius and Chitzonius, between Seichel and Neshama, and I need the Neshama to win. The Chabban says that also, but that's not what he's focusing on over here. What he's focusing on over here is the ikar of me is my Panimius, is my Neshama. The Neshama could change. Now, what does that change mean? He's describing it almost like, I would want to use the word, almost like inspired. Like what he's describing over here is that when a person decides to focus on their panemius, they wake the neshama out of sleep mode. Suddenly, again, there's this lightning bolt of divine energy, and suddenly the neshama is awake. So the Chabban goes on, he says, Ki berega, shofia ar bepanemius, azai kol talicha esgalos hurak inyan shalazman velo zulos. Ki kvar hukva hashefa venechkak ba'adam besod panemiuso. Masha inkin, im ha'ar adayin lo hir bepanemius, Sha'az huganuz bimeromim v'rachok mea adam kulo. So ultimately, again, once my neshama is awakened and that light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is inside of me, then it could go on to go ahead and awaken the guf as well, to do things with the chitzonius. But ultimately, again, before that light is activated, that light remains with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, away from me. Zehu yisodi v'shorashi ma'od, Asher mabit ala olamos b'mabat racha va'amok, v'kolal es ha'pnimius v'chitzonius ke'echad. Mashal abaraz mayim shematza shenimtza b'rosh migdal v'gava ma'od, b'rega sheniftuchu ha'mayim l'mala. Azir, so we'll say, so go on a little bit. So skip to the last paragraph. Sod zeh. Remez bipsuke, actually no, skip to page Chaf Aleph. V'novin davar gadol. Ki kol merchave ha'olamos binuyim b'sod panemius v'chitzonius. That panemius ba'o b'sod ha'ichos v'amihirus. So we'll say, now listen to this. This is actually incredible. He says, no, that life is built on this panemi versus chitzoni dialectic. This divide. he says, "Vehu v'achitzonius ba'a b'sot hakamos v'hazman." Remember again the fundamental distinction: you could amass your panemius in the matter of a moment. Chitzonius is always going to take time. I just want to read this last part. He says, "Vehu sod Torah sa'arizal." And we'll say, "Watch this. Watch this." Ki Rabbeinu ha'arizal limed es talmido chavivo Rabbi Chaim Vital b'meshech shana v'asara chodshim bilvad. The Arizal taught his Talmud Mufa, Rav Chaim Vital, Kala Torah Kula in 1 year and 10 months. 1 year and 10 months, the Arizal taught Rav Chaim Vital, Kala Torah Kula. So we'll say, how is that possible? Uzman zeh halokatzahu ma'od biyachas leme'os shanim shalchai am Yisrael. I don't understand. How can you go ahead and teach someone Kala Torah Kula in 1 year and 10 months? How is that possible? How is that possible? And they will say, you know, they say about Reb Chaim, he made a Sima Torah every year. Understand, Reb Chaim was able to make a Sima Torah every year. He wasn't doing that since he was 5 years old, right? I don't know what age he started doing it at, but it takes a number of years to make it to that point where you could finish Kala. So how is it that the Arizal is teaching Reb Chaim Vital Kala Torah Kula in 1 year and 10 months? Wow. There are two ways that you can learn Torah also. There are two ways you can learn Torah. You can learn Torah with Chitzonius, or you can learn Torah with Panemius. You can learn Torah with your mind and with your intellect and with your emotions, or you could learn Torah with your neshama. I will say two dramatically different experiences. Remember again, I quoted a number of, I don't remember how long ago it was, Rabbi Nachman, it's a little chazara. Rabbi Nachman says, what happens if you get to a sugya in Gemara that you don't understand? What should you do? What does it ever say? Move on. Move on. It doesn't mean you shouldn't try to figure it out, but don't spend a week on it. Don't spend a week on it. Move on. Move on. The Rebbe says, you'll understand it the next time around. Right, Rabbi Nachman also chazered Kala Torah Kula pretty often as well. You'll understand the next time around. And just to say, when we hear that, sometimes for many of us, it almost seems like an offensive thing to say. A person went to yeshiva, right? Learning is all about plugging away and toiling, amelus batar, trying to figure it out. So how could it be that lemaisa, again, I just move on? So also what the Rebbe was trying to teach us was, well, how do you learn Torah? Do you learn Torah with your mind? Or do you learn Torah with your neshama? See, if I learn Torah with my mind, then everything has to make sense. If I learn Torah with my neshama, then ultimately, again, even that which doesn't make sense to my mind makes absolute sense to my neshama. So says the Chalban something amazing. You know how you could cover Kala Torah Kula in 1 year and 10 months? If you're not learning Torah Chitzoni, but you're learning Torah Pinimi. If you're learning Torah with your neshama, Neshama Panemius is Lamala Min Azman. It's above Zman. It's above Zman. You could accomplish anything and everything in a very short amount of time. Versus if you're learning Torah with your mind. Now, I want to be clear. The Chabad is not telling us that we should learn Torah with our mind. What he's just pointing out, that, by the way, we're also not the Chaim Vital or the Arizal, right? Learn Torah with our mind. And we should plug away. We should plug away at things. But Lemaisa, what he's trying to highlight is a dynamic. Is a distinction between Panemius and between Chitzonius. He goes on, he says, Ubizman Katsar, Ella, Shahaya Besoda Panemius, Kirak Talmido Ne'aman Beso, Has Hisigo Vikasvo, Umisham Ve'ilech Basoda Chitzonius, Shutalech Gilu Yatora Zula Kol Yisrael, Ubadar Bizman Rubis. So the Chaban goes on. Abosai, let me just tie this back to the Leil HaSeder, because we're almost out of time. But how does the Chaban tie this back to the Leil HaSeder? So he explains, again, I'll tell you this outside. Actually, skip to the last page, Chaf Beis. It's the last page. I thought we were going to get to through two essays tonight, two pieces, but okay. Let's say, take a look at the last paragraph on page Chaf Beis. V'hine Navin Mikolza. So let's remember again, how did the Chaban start? Right? What was the Kasha? What was the Kasha? Remember? What was the Kasha? Right? The Seder is a couple of hours. Seder is a couple of hours. How could an event that spans a couple of hours have an impact on the year? Right? It's a tipa shebetipos. It's nothing. It's nothing. How could it have an impact? I will say, look at the last paragraph of Pesach Beis. V'hinei navin mikol zos. Ad kam sugal hu lel haseder bedaros seinu eila. Shanu kvar mamish biitzumo shel talich hagula. We'll say this is a little bit of a tie back to Akitza Varaninu. We're living in the times of Gula already. Ubarach Hashem Shabanu La'artzenu. We have come back to Eretz Yisrael. Vihino senes peroseha ba'ayin yofa. And like the Navi says, how do you know when Mashiach is coming? No, Mashiach is coming. We'll say when the land begins to produce fruit. Does the land produce fruit? Baruch Hashem, not only does the land produce fruit, but Eretz Yisrael exports fruit. Rabbi said, do you know what a nes nigla that is? That Eretz Yisrael exports fruit. Rabbi said, do you know what a nes nigla it is? That Eretz Yisrael has award-winning wineries. Right? That's why, again, it's imparting a makbid. No one needs to drink any wine other than Eretz Yisrael wine. Right? It's just, there's so much good wine in Eretz Yisrael. And again, mamish, when you drink it, you're drinking geula. You're mamish drinking good. The land is alive. The land is alive. So the Chaban says we're in the times of Geula. V'atorah misgaberes ma'od. V'spashtus raze Torah holeches u'mischazekes. And Torah is alive. And Torah is strong. And ultimately, again, I'll say even the panemius of Torah, going back to Akitzivran, even the panemius of Torah, the more esoteric parts of Torah, which often were not studied, are now studied more often. Hine bizmanim elu naasa or tokuf obe barak echad barak holech umer v'choder ve'al kein naskil otzem pu'ulas lel haseder. Elosei says the Chaban. Now with this we're going to conclude. I want to tell you the power of the Seder night. Shumamosh hazman hamesugal biyoser b'shana lahavrakas or hagula. Elosei says the Chaban, and I just want to tell you this. If you came tonight looking for a good vart to say at the Seder, this is not it. Right, this is not it. This isn't a vart. This isn't a vart. This is life. This is life. The Chalban says, when I sit down at the Seder, what's my kavana? My kavana is, I want to change my panemius. I want a lightning bolt of divine energy to surge through my neshama. That's what I want tonight. That's what I want. And I'm going to sit here, and I'm going to remember all that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us. And I'm going to remember that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim. And then like we saw in the first piece, and I'm going to find the courage to confront my own Mitzrayim, to confront the things that are holding me back, to confront my faults, to confront my shortcomings, to confront those things that are misfiring inside of me. And I'm going to go free tonight also. I'm going free. I sit at the Seder. You know, isn't it an amazing thing? We sit at the Seder, and we have beautiful wine, and beautiful tablecloth, and beautiful this, and all the wonderful things, and right, we have all the trappings of a Ben Chorin. All the trappings, nice pillow, everything's fantastic. The dining room looks like a perfect picture of freedom. And what's the great irony? There's only one thing in my dining room that's not free. And you know what it is? It's me. It's me. It's me. Everything else looks like chayrus. Everything else looks like freedom. The only thing that's still enslaved, the only thing that's still in Mitzrayim, is me. And my avoda over the Seder night is, as we said before, to leave my own Mitzrayim. And Abbas says the Chaban, when you find the courage to leave your Mitzrayim, and you find the courage to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to wake up your neshama out of sleep mode, there's an instantaneous, internal, cathartic, comprehensive change which occurs. And all of that happens over the couple of hours of the Seder night. And I will say, if I'm able to experience that change in my panemius on Seder night, that impacts the rest of the year. Because remember again, what fuels the chitzonius? What fuels the chitzonius is the panemius. Right? It's like the slow drip candle, right? The slow drip oil, right? So the receptacle with oil, that's my panemius. And then everything else feeds the chitzonius. If I could fill up my panemius on Pesach night, if I could leave my Mitzrayim, if I could say, Ribono Shel Olam, I want my neshama to be illuminated with a lightning bolt from you, and I could affect that internal instantaneous change, then a couple of hours of the Seder have a dramatic effect on the entire year. I'll say, that says the Chaban is the power of the Leil HaSeder. It offers us a platform for panemiastic change, for really changing who we are on the inside, the lightning bolt of energy. And it's that energy that then can fuel us over the rest of the year. Listen, I think sometimes that we'll sing a song, but I think that sometimes the challenge that we often encounter when we come to the Seder is, first of all, often we're tired. So like it's sometimes hard. It's also like, you know, we feel like this pressure to get through the Haggadah, right? As if the mitzvah is to get through the Haggadah. And we forget the fact that the mitzvah is actually not to get through the Haggadah. The Haggadah is just a vehicle. Right? I always tell people, if you don't open up the Haggadah the entire night, you can still be Yotzei everything. I mean, you have to know the brachos, you have to know what you have to say. But Lamaisa, we forget that sometimes the most important part of the Seder is just closing my eyes, saying a Kodesh Baruch Hu, I'm ready to leave my Mitzrayim. I'm ready to go. And I'm also ready to experience that internal change. And if we could harness that energy on the Leil HaSeder, then that is enough energy to sustain us and to fuel us for the entire year. So we should be Zochem Mirza Hashem. That as we sit down at the Seder this year, first of all, like I said, I don't know that the Chalban lends itself to being set over at the table. Right? I don't know. Maybe it depends if you have a Helix Seder. I mean, you could do it. Right? I don't know if it... But what I would tell you is, take the sheet, keep it in your Haggadah, and over the course of the Seder, reference it. Because if we could tap into the Chalban's holy words, then in Meretz Hashem, not only is there no telling what we could accomplish on the Leil HaSeder, but there's no telling what we could accomplish in the year to come as well.
Hey. Oh.
Yeah, I sent it to you. You're not listening to
stuff
I sent.
Come on, come on.
I'm keeping you current.
I turned off all notifications for
myself. Thanks. Oh, what's the Naftali campus song?
Shir Zishmayim? Or, is
that
it? Well done, Howard.
Unreal.
Beautiful.
How do we have?
He's fueling the people.
Ouch. No, of course. No, you're fueling the Gashmias.
Fine.
Okay.
I'll take it.
I'm happy to be a part of it.
It's a great society.
Whatever role I'm playing,
good, you know,
we can figure it out later.
You can talk about tomorrow. Social. See, we have talk about tomorrow. What are you
talking about?
Yeah, what do you think?
Are we having
smoke something?
Yeah.
I'm thinking we've got 13 hours. It takes 12 hours to do a brisket.
You have like a brisket.
Oh my gosh! What
you
doing? It
doesn't have to be a brisket.
What are we doing?
Chili.
It's all right.
Everyone says it doesn't have to be this.
We're used to having just a chowin. I mean, like a kugel. I mean, so anything above that.
You know what the funny thing is? We got to get together because I'm happy to do my time. It's free.
Always. How are you? Not busy at all.